This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Tigers on Tap, a Go Tigers 247 audio podcast. Stepping up to the microphone are Trey Leslie and TJ Willis. Join the guys as they talk all things Memphis Tigers and their favorite beer. Turn your volume up, grab your favorite brew, and enjoy the conversation. Now, let's get to the show.
What is up, everybody? It's TJ and Trey. We're back with part two of our season kickoff for the Tigers football season this year. Tonight we're going to do a little bit of depth chart projections from TJ and I, and then we're going to go game by game through the schedule and give you guys our projection for how the Tigers will do this season. So, TJ, what's up, my man?
Man, no complaints. Got a nice cold beer here, so I'm ready to get things started.
Yeah, let's get after it. Tell me what tonight was your pick, so tell me what we got.
All right, this is Prince Mango. It's an IPA with mango, obviously a play on words with Prince Mongo. This is Memphis made. It's not a cool can. It's a pretty boring can by Memphis made.
This can is a letdown for sure.
I'm going to reach out to the people.
Can is a letdown.
We need to reach out to the people of Memphis made. Let them know that their cans are boring.
They're listening.
Well, they need to know their cans are boring. But you'll catch that later on when we grade things.
I do love the play on words, though. Vote Prince Mongo for sure. All right, well, let's get after it. Depth chart wise, you want to start offense or defense first?
Start offense.
All right. First up, I guess we'll go. We've had the QB battle, right? So you want to start with QB one?
Sure. I think this would be one of the easier ones, right?
Obviously, it's the GOAT, Henny Goat, our boy,
Henny Goat.
Tennessee. And then I think we both got Glover as backup, right?
Yeah. It obviously, you want to see Tevin get some snaps, but they didn't bring in Glover, you know, on his last year to not be that kind of that emergency backup plan.
Yeah, definitely want to see Tevin get some run in for those games, keep the red shirt, but I think we're both in agreement, Seth, and then Glover as the backup. All right, the interesting one here up next, and we'll talk running back and tailback. Memphis typically list a starting running back and a starting tailback. TJ, what do you have for starting running back?
I'm going Brandon Thomas. He's just a complete back. He just makes the most sense there for the starting running back.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you heard it yesterday with Silverfield's availability, kind of alluding to that. And then Kramsey today was talking a lot about Brandon and his explosiveness and making things happen out there on the football field. So as long as he's healthy, I think he's your guy, your first guy. I would put Asa as that two. You know, they've talked about having a one and two guy. I know previously I think Asa's been listed as the tailback, but I think he'll show up as a Brandon Thomas. And, you know, we might see some of that or here too, that they like to or and that they'll throw in there. But I think Brandon and Ace are your one and two there at the running back position. And then tailback, I'm actually going to go, and this is a name we've heard a lot of, and we talked a little bit about it, but I mean, he's getting a lot of excitement. The staff seems to love him a lot. I'm actually going to go Sutton Smith here as you're listed with, and I'm going to throw in and Darius Coffee there. I think that's another and or two guys that are going to be playing that tailback where you kind of line them up in different situations. And I think Javion Ducker will get some touches as well. But what do you have at tailback?
Yeah, I think you and I have actually talked about this probably a little too much. It's going to be kind of boring at first, but I also have Sutton Smith as the starting tailback with Coffee. I think it's Coffee. We always get that wrong. But I think Coffee is actually going to be the...
Just stick with Coffee.
Going to be the backup tailback there.
I would. I mean, I could see Coffee getting... again, I think that's kind of an and or. We've just heard a lot about Sutton and... Mm-hmm. You know, especially today from Cramsey talking about how electric he is. He's got a specific skill set. I think Silverfield even mentioned yesterday a name that everybody's very familiar with and would get them very exciting in Kenny Gainwell. Heard some things about similar attributes and speed, that kind of thing. So as a true freshman, you know, we had that question the other day of who's a true freshman that comes in and makes an impact. I picked Josh White. I might switch it to Sutton Smith based on kind of what we're hearing out of camp and availability so far.
Yeah.
All right. On to the deepest, at least in our eyes, position group on the offensive side of the ball is the wide receiver. So we'll just go three. I mean, do you want to go outside slot or we'll just talk three?
You can just talk your three. I mean, we'll just say three. It don't matter.
I think one right off the top is obviously Eddie Lewis, right? It's kind of all been alluded to. I think Silverfield kind of mentioned that yesterday as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Eddie, Javon Ivory, and then I think it's an and/or situation here too with Skates and Gabe Rogers.
Yeah,
in that third spot.
I also have Ivory and Lewis. I don't know if it's going to be an and/or. I do think we get Gabe Rogers at first with. As that third wide receiver, but you're going to see guys, Skates and Markell Jones kind of working.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, Cramsey talked about it today. They've got so many guys on that, in that room that, and Silverfield mentioned it yesterday, like even Eddie, if he's the number one guy, he's not playing 85 snaps at wideout. Right. So they're going to be throwing guys in and out all day. And I think the guys behind them, you're going to have, you know, the second biggest KD in the city of Memphis. You know, you got your basketball KD and Kendrick Davis. You got Kobe Drake on the football side. So Kobe Drake behind them and, you know, Markell Jones, another guy we've talked about that's, you know, probably lining up in the slot, can make some shifty plays. Rock Taylor, you know, Cam Wright. So there's definitely a lot of bodies that you can put out there. And I think we'll see a lot of snaps from a lot of different guys out there. But I think your three were kind of in agreement or Eddie, Javon and Gabe / Skates.
What about tight end? What do you got?
Obviously, it's your boy 6'6", 250, Caden Priestcorn.
Yeah,
in agreement there.
Yeah, I think Priestcorn's going to start. We've heard just too much about him. You do have super senior Hassel coming back. I think we'll probably see Hassel more than we'll see Anthony Lanphier. But when they get into those heavy running situations, I think that's when you'll see maybe even a three tight end set, which is super unheard of for the Tigers. They haven't really had that kind of tight end talent top to bottom. But Priestcorn, Lanphier, both guys 6'5 plus, 250 plus, just absolute monster of men, honestly. So I'm excited to see that kind of coming in.
Yeah, I've got Priestcorn, and then like you said, Hassel behind if they go two tight end set. All right, jump into the offensive line, center wise. What are you looking at?
For me, it's hard to not see Jacob Likes come back. I mean, this is what his third year now. He's racked up some serious gameplay. I imagine it's going to be Jacob Likes. Hard to overthrow that.
Yeah, I mean he played 8 games in 2020, started 12. Last year, I think that's Jacob's spot right there. What about at right guard?
At right guard, I'm going to take Matt Dale, who's moving. He's actually played right guard before. I think it was like 3 years ago now, but played some right tackle last year. Struggled a bit. I think maybe moving back inside may help him out.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Davion Carter here, a transfer in. I've kind of heard some good things about Davion. We know Matt's struggled the last several years with some penalties, specifically false starts. So I'm actually going to go, I'm going to disagree with you there. I'm going to say Davion gets the start, and Matt might be there as a backup at that right guard position.
Yeah. Carter's, he was good. He was a JUCO guy. I think he's also looking at some backup center minutes if Likes goes down.
Yeah, yeah. All right, what about at left guard? It's got to be Jonah, our boy Jonah Gamble, right?
Yeah, you know, Jonah came in for Myers last year when he broke his leg playing left tackle, but I think they're going to try to keep that experience and keep those legs fresh and just kind of bump him inside to left guard.
Yeah. So he played in one game as a true freshman, I think. So he redshirted there. Then he started 8 last year, like you said, after some injuries. So another guy that's got some snaps under his belt and is ready to rock. What about that at right tackle?
Right tackle, I'm bringing in the newcomer. Not a newcomer. He's been in the program for a couple of years, but he doesn't have any serious snaps in him. I'm going Mikhailan Pounders, who was heavily recruited by Mississippi State and ended up choosing the Tigers.
Yeah, I'm in agreement there with Pounders. We've kind of seen and heard some good things from him in fall camp, so I would be surprised if he wasn't over there at the right tackle spot. And then obviously I think we're both left tackle, big man, 6'4", 300, Austin Myers.
Yeah.
TCU transfer.
Yeah, it's going to be.
He's got a lot of ball games under his belt. I think 30 plus in the years at TCU, and then obviously started the first 4 last year before going down in UTSA game with an unfortunate season-ending injury. But he's back, ready to go, 5th year. So I think we both got Austin Myers here at left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you want to jump to we'll jump over to the – you want to do special teams or defense? Defense?
Defense, yeah.
All right, who do you got starting at the defensive ends, both ends?
Both ends, I am going to go Wardalis Duxworth. I think that was kind of a given. And at the other end spot, I'm going to throw in a little curveball. I'm going to say Cormonte Hamilton will start.
On the other DN? Wow.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, I'm in agreement. I think Duxworth, I think he led the team in sacks last year, if that's right, 4.5, or he was up there. But yeah, senior, been here a long time, 6'4", 250. I think you got Duxworth. And then, we've heard a lot of good things about Cremonte Hamilton, but I think you're going to go with, he's just a dog. He's got that dog in him, Jalen Allen over there on the other rush end side. But I am in agreement. I do think Hamilton will see him pretty quickly. I mean, I think this is going to be kind of similar to the wide receiver situation, right? You're going to be rolling guys in and out. But I'm going to go Jalen on the other end. What about the 2 DT spots?
It is so hard to predict this because it really just depends on exactly what kind of, you know, front they put out there, right? We're excited about Matt Barnes because he runs a 4 down lineman defensive front, but that could be anything from 4 actual big hulking D linemen. It could be, you know, Duxworth and Hamilton at the ends, and then Jalen Allen coming off the edge as just a rush end. Really is kind of like as a fourth linebacker almost, just dropping his hand down in the dirt and peeling off the edge. So it really just kind of depends. So I'm actually looking at it as just 1 defensive tackle, 2 ends, and the rush end. So I'd say Cameron Jackson would probably be my defensive tackle, but I definitely think you're going to get heavy doses of Zy Brockington throughout the year.
Yeah, I've got obviously Big Cam there, and then I've got Zy as the other defensive down lineman as well. I mean, I think this is another spot we could see Cremonte rolled in as well too, is in the down lineman position. So, all right, moving on to the linebacking core. I think obviously everybody's probably very familiar with who the linebackers will be. We'll go Tyler, Zay, and Jeff. I think Jeff will probably be in the middle. Are you kind of thinking that as well?
Yeah, that's the position he played at Syracuse. It's probably the easiest transition. I kind of thought maybe Zay Collins would move inside just because Canton Arku is just a little bit more athletic, a little more rangy. But I think I'm going to stick to my gut and just say Zay's going to stay outside and Canton will stay inside.
Yeah. And another guy I think that we'll see that gets run there is Sincere Evans, a senior. He's played in 14 games for the Tigers. So Sincere, and then is there another younger, another Andrew Jones, A.J. Odom, anybody else you're expecting that could maybe get rotation there at the linebacking spot?
Yeah, I would definitely say Andrew Jones, maybe Bryce Edmondson, but I think Silverfield actually just stated that he is out for a little bit. So maybe Spencer Rich, if you need to collect another body, Davion Mayo, one of those two.
Yeah, another guy, Jared Ned, I think we've heard a couple good things about. So it'll be interesting to see the younger guys as they get worked in. But I think for the majority of snaps, it's going to be Tyler, Zay, and Jeff that are out there holding down the second level. All right, corners. Obviously, Greg Rubin's got one side locked down. Who do you have in that other spot? I think there's a couple names that, you know, we don't really know for sure.
So this one's tough, mostly because the cornerbacks are just so deep. Right? We've seen, you know, we are fortunate enough that we get to go to practice. So these are kind of educated decisions for the most part. But I will let you know, it's never been the same two guys. So, like, I couldn't tell you who is starting, honestly. I think you're on the right track with Greg Rubin, just because had a pretty good freshman year, right? I think he led the nation in pass breakups for a bit there. Just as an educated guess, I'm going to say Silvonta Oliver on the other side as the fifth-year senior. He's got enough snaps under his belt that I think he could contribute.
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely Greg's got one side there. He had 11 starts last year, 59 tackles, 14 pass breakups as a true freshman. So I think he's got it locked down. I do, you know, I'd like to see Julian Barnett out there as just a bigger-bodied 6'2", 200-ish corner. You know, like you said, Savante's a fifth-year senior coming back, but he is a little bit smaller. I'm going to have high hopes and say that we see Julian starting on the other side. But this could be another spot, you know, where we see an and/or. And somebody else that we haven't mentioned is that we've kind of heard a lot about Devon Ross, the transfer in out of Eastern
Kentucky.
Right? Eastern Kentucky.
Yeah.
I mean, heard a lot of good things about him. So, you know, that could be another guy that fills in at that other corner spot.
And yeah, I think this is so flexible because if we're playing someone like State, it could be a total situation where we're running out with the nickel, or, you know, you could have Oliver, you could have Ruben, and you could also have Davion Ross out there as well. You could have Ladarian Polk. You could have Cameron Smith or Cameron Johnson. I can't remember who the hell is the football Cameron player Smith. And who the hell is the golfer. I don't know why I can't get it backwards.
They're both Cam Smith.
You see what
Cameron
I'm saying?
Smith, the golfer and the football player.
It's tricky, man.
Yeah, I forgot about Cam. That's another guy that could be out there in that corner spot.
Cameron Johnson's the freaking small forward for the Phoenix Suns. There's too many Cams.
I don't know why you keep getting Cameron Johnson out there. It's Cam Smith, my man. So, I think that second corner is still kind of up for grabs. But I'm going to go with Julian Barnett. You said Savante Oliver. But honestly, it really could be any of those guys we named.
Yeah.
All right, obviously strong safety, Rodney Owens.
Yeah, pretty much no discussion on that one, right? I think that one's set in stone.
Yeah. Who do you have in that backup spot? Is that something you could see, you know, like the new transfer from Kentucky, Joel Williams? I think he's a bigger bodied guy. I think Kentucky had him as like a safety. So he could be a guy that's backing up Rodney or Q at the strong safety position.
Maybe eventually, right? I mean, we're definitely going to have a year post Quindell where we're going to need some experience or something back there, right? A little more depth. It's going to be a complete mystery. If I had to guess who's back there now, it's tough. It's tough, tough, tough. We've been so blessed to have Quindell for so long.
I know.
What is his name? He's in the late teens. I think he's 18. I can't remember his name. I'm going blank right now.
A number?
Yeah, it's
talking about Hastings.
Hastings.
Yeah.
I could see Hastings back there.
Yeah. Well, I think, he was a redshirt freshman last year.
Yeah. He's a big body guy.
What about, there was a name we got, Ladarian Polk. I think he was a JUCO guy. We've kind of heard a little bit about that. Could be another guy that if, you know, something happened, you know, where they have to sit out a play or something that, you know, he could step in and fill in.
Yeah, I was curious if Polk would play more corner or more safety, but I think he is going to officially be labeled as safety. I'm doing like air quotes on safety, just for his ball skills and things like that. So I think that's probably he could be another backup guy right there. I think he'd be make perfect sense.
Yeah. All right, on to special teams. Probably one of the most important, at least as it related to last year. I mean, the inability to kick field goals for 85% of the year was a detriment. I think cost us a couple games. Who do you have coming out of that that field goal battle for place kicker?
We've heard a lot of one particular person's name, and I'm not going to go that route. I'm sticking with my boy David Kemp. I think Kemp's going to win out the job.
David Kemp.
David Kemp.
I actually am. I think I hate to say this. I think this is a definitely or. I think they're both going to be listed. I think we're going to see both of them. I know that Ryan called out and said that Chris Howard is leading a little bit. But I mean, in that availability, Bankins had, you know, he was talking about trying to get Howard's leg strength up. So it's good, I think, to have a guy like Chris Howard who's got a lot of experience at the collegiate level. You know, he wasn't necessarily the first string kicker at Florida, but he's had game experience in the SEC. He's made like 80% of his field goals. But I think that's a situation where we very well, you know, even two games into the year could see both of them at various points kicking. But I'm going to go with, I think Chris Howard's the first name listed, and then you get an and or with David Kemp listed as well. What about, obviously, punter should be a all AAC, maybe second team. Our boy Joe Doyle. Joe Doyle rules. Never forget Joe Doyle last year in the state game. I mean, not only was my guy, he hadn't kicked a field goal since high school, and my guy's booting through 50 yarders, you know, like it's nothing. I mean, the thing didn't get more than, I mean, how tall is a crossbar? 10 feet? The thing didn't get more than 10 feet off the ground, but it was a laser rocket straight through the uprights. So shout out Joe Doyle, but that's your guy punting.
Yeah, I don't think there's any discussion on that one.
And then kickoff specialist, obviously, I think is Noah Grant. We've heard that. I think Bangin said the other day he's been kicking through the back of the end zone. So anytime you can keep it out of a returner's hand, I think that's a good thing. All right, what about this concerned us in the spring game? So they have added a transfer. I'm assuming it's Cox that will be the long snapper.
Yeah, the mullet man himself. He rocks a sweet mullet if no one's seen it. And if it's not a mullet, I apologize that your hair looks like a mullet.
Well, first of all, you don't have to say sweet because if it's a mullet, it's already implied that it's sweet. Have you ever seen a bad mullet? No. I should go back. Remember when I had a mullet like 2 years ago? You should go. You're halfway there.
Wow.
You just got to get a little shorter on the top and side.
I think I'm beyond there.
All right. Well, you either are going mullet or cornrows. One of the two. You got to pick.
Mm. Let's see what the wife says.
All right. What about, we'll go kick return, kickoffs.
I'm going to stick with Gabe Rogers. I think.
You got two back there, by the way. You get two.
Yeah, I think he's going to be the main guy. If we're going to spice it up, I'll throw in Coffee.
Yeah. Gosh, those were my two. Yeah, I was going to say Gabe and Coffee as well.
Well, fine. I'll change it up. I'll put Sutton back there.
Hmm. That's good. I like that. Interesting. A way to get a true freshman, allow him to make impact. We have heard about the electricity, the speed. That's a good pick. I'm going to stick with Coffee and Gabe, but maybe it's Sutton and Coffee.
I'll throw in a curveball.
Two young guys.
We could throw in a curveball. I'll say Davion Ross. That way we don't have any replications.
All right, what about punt return?
Steady Eddie. That's what Silverfield calls him.
Steady
Eddie.
Needs to be Steady Kobe, my boy back there catching every punt possible. Safety first. No, I'm going to go. I was going to go Eddie, but I'll mix it up. Say Markell Jones, your boy.
I respect that.
They like a good spot to get him out there. All right, did we miss anything depth chart wise?
I don't think so.
Interesting to note, Silverfield did say 42% of the start. I don't know if this is including offense, defense, and special teams, but he said 42% of the starters are either sophomores or freshmen. Obviously, that's including still, you know, redshirt freshmen, sophomores, redshirt sophomores, but interesting note there.
I think he actually walked that number back. I think he said it was actually like 39.
Did he a little bit? Oh, okay. It's 39 and 42 are so greatly drastic. Right. Still interesting, though. I think it does bode well for the future. You got a lot of young guys playing time last year. A lot of those guys you're going to see back out there on the field again this year. Guys like Cam Smith that we've talked about. Obviously, Seth coming back as a true sophomore with a full year under his belt. Greg Rubin. You know, Cam Jackson as a sophomore. So a lot of young guys who have gotten to play a lot of football in that first year. And this is kind of the point where, you know, hopefully that starts paying dividends, right? You get those young guys in early and then you get a couple more years out of them and develop them. So, all right, let's take a break really quick. And when we come back, TJ, it's time. Time to project the schedule.
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll be right back.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, we're back. Time to we'll jump into the schedule. First things first, I mean, this is a weird schedule. It's weird. I mean, starting off, first of all, back-to-back road games. Last time that happened, 2010, and actually we started off at Mississippi State, Larry Porter's first year. Not a place of Tiger football that I want to go back to and relive, but we'll talk a little bit about it. Not the best start either, so hopefully that's not what we see again. But lost to Mississippi State 49-7, and then went on the road the next week to East Carolina and got absolutely smoked at East Carolina as well and lost 49-27. So I do not think that that's going to happen this year, but last time that's happened was 12 years ago, starting out back-to-back on the road. And then I don't know the last time that this happened. We play a month straight at home and then go back on the road, back-to-back weeks, have a bye, then we play three straight at home, and then close out the year at SMU. You know, the starting out the year back-to-back away, I hate it. Unfortunately, I know a lot of people have, like, blamed Mike Cresso for that, but it's the Southern Heritage Classic, right? The Simmons Bank is being used that second weekend, so it's either play a road conference game, schedule one of these, you know, have another out-of-conference game on the road, so you'd potentially lose a home game, or you have a week to bye, which I think is one of the dumbest things that's ever. We've done that before, and that is one of the dumbest things ever, because then you end up playing, what, like 11 straight games?
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate. But again, it's just a weird schedule. Anyway, the combined Memphis's combined record against the teams this year is, I'll say we've played about 300 games. You have a guess on what our record is overall out of 300?
42%.
We're just above 500, my man. We are 144, 142, and get this, six ties out there against these opponents. Fun fact, five of those six ties are against the same opponent. Do you have a guess as who that is?
I'll shoot from the hip. Arkansas State.
You, my friend, are correct. Five times we have tied Arkansas State. You have a guess who the other lone tie on the schedule is against?
East Carolina.
No. Tulane. Tulane in the membrane.
Tulane in the brain.
So six ties. That's fun. All right, let's kick it off. We're 10 days away, September the 3rd, Stark Vegas at Mississippi State. State leads the all-time series 33-12. Last time we played in Starkville, we just mentioned it, was 2010. This is maybe the most upsetting part of all of this. We were talking about this while we took a break. That was Larry Porter. That Tigers team went down to Starkville as a 21-point underdog. So for us to the line this year to open at 17.5, I think is absolutely disgusting, ridiculous, disrespectful. I'm hammering the Tigers plus six. I think it's 16 now. I still think that's too many. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think we get blown out down there. I think it's a better game than what Vegas is predicting.
Well, it's also a week one spread. Like, it's just, they're always so wild.
Week one spreads are goofy. It's like, to me, it's like preseason rankings, right? You have no idea. I mean, you can make a lot of money week one. There's just goofy spreads out there. But I think this is one of them. I'm taking the Tigers minus, I think it's 16.5 right now. I'm taking it. I would advise anybody else listening, take it. I think you can make some money there. We did break a 12-game losing streak last year. That is the way that game went. Headsy play by Calvin Austin, pick the ball up, hand it to the ref. You can complain about all you want. Two number fours on the field. Who cares? It doesn't impact the play. We also were already winning at that point in time. We had just scored touchdowns. We had just scored right before that and then forced them. I think they ran four play or five plays and punted. I mean, who's to say there were 6 minutes left. If anything, Calvin gave them a shot to still get back in at scoring so fast. I mean, who's to say we weren't about to march down the field, chew up 4.5 minutes, score again, and then they've got, you know, a minute 45 left and they're down two scores. So, I mean, nobody knows that if that punt isn't taken back that we still don't win. But I do, starting out on the road at an SEC opponent, I mean, I think it's a winnable game. We've talked about it. We saw Louisiana Tech go down there last year, week one. They got up, what was it, 34-14?
Yeah, got a big.
You know, midway through the fourth and just gave up some long pass plays and 21 points in the second portion of the fourth quarter. So I definitely think it's a winnable game. Like I said, I think it'll be close. I just opening up on the road first week, it's tough. It's going to be a rowdy environment. We heard it at practice today. They're pumping in cowbell, but it's nothing like what it's going to be down there, I think, week one. I think it'll be – the Tigers will play well, but I am going to go with State pulling out a slight victory week one. I'm not going to give a score prediction yet because I think we'll do that in our weekly previews. But I'll go Tigers open up with a close loss at Mississippi State.
Yeah, I think we're going to agree on this one. I have State taking this one. It's going to be at home. Tigers are, you know, bringing in the new defensive coordinator. There's going to be some adjustment period. Like it or not, Will Rogers is pretty good at throwing the ball around. It just kind of is what it is. It's an air raid offense. It's made to the offense
throwing
is
throwing the ball around.
It's made to look made to make you make mistakes, essentially, right? It's there to trick people and to kind of confuse them, and that's just how it all is set up. You know, they I will say they are replacing a couple of offensive linemen. I think both of their tackles are gone. The defense is pretty much returning everybody. Important to note, their kicker sucks. I think he made like 50% of his field goals last year. So,
well, let's chill out with that.
Well, first of all, we had last year, so. Joey D saving us. And if you asked me to just walk off the street and kick a field goal, I probably couldn't. I can tell you for a fact, I could not do
that. We've done that before. We've done it. We went to White Station to try to kick field goals.
Yeah, it's harder shanking them left and right. Anyway.
I mean, you got to have the right shoes on for sure.
Anyway, I just.
But, hey, another fun fact for those of you thinking about taking the line. Under Leach, Mississippi State as a home favorite is 1-4 against the spread. So just a little extra oomph for you to have the courage to take that 16.5.
Close game. I think the Tigers do lose this one, though.
All right. So we both, unfortunately, have the Tigers starting off 0-1. Next week, obviously, at Navy. So back-to-back road games, like we mentioned. We've won 3 straight. Silverfield's never lost to Navy. I do not think that this is a very good Navy team. Nothing about... The only way that I'm worried about this is... 2018, when we went down there. And it was just a slop fest. One of Brady's first... Same situation where you got the Southern Heritage, so we open up conference play away second week. The only way I'm concerned about this is if it's just a nasty, rainy, dreary day and we have some BS. Look, you're not supposed to hate Navy, but when you got our team hotel's fire alarm is going off at 3 a.m. and we play at 1:30 the next day, that is bullshit. So if they're pulling stunts like that again and it's raining, then I'll be concerned. But otherwise... We're about to beat that Navy ass and right the ship, pun intended. Pardon my French. If you have children, I apologize.
Navy doesn't have Malcolm Perry anymore, so I don't think we should have that issue. They were not good last year. I don't know if anyone happened to watch any Navy, and they're pretty much bringing everybody back that they had last year. We won pretty handily last year. I guess the one concern is it's on the road, and it's the triple option, and – Barnes has never seemingly faced the triple option. So there's somewhat of worry there. You know, I think he's a smart enough guy to be able to scheme against him. I think the Tigers definitely won this one.
I also like playing Navy earlier in the year, right? They've struggled recently, at least like the last 2-3 years earlier in the season. Ken gets them kind of more in a groove later in the year. So I think it's good to pull Navy earlier. You get to spend some fall camp time prepping for him too. So yeah, I think the Tigers win, fairly easily week two. So I've got them 1-1. TJ, you're at 1-1 as well.
1-1, yeah.
All right. We move on to week three, September 17th. Arkansas State, the home opener. Obviously, last year was the shootout. We've won 3 straight in the... Do you know the name of this rivalry, by the way?
between Memphis and Arkansas State. Is it something about I-40 or something stupid like that?
No, it's the Paint Bucket Bowl. Disappointed in you and your knowledge of our regional rivalry names. Memphis leads the all-time series 31-23, and we discussed it, the five ties. Obviously, last year's 55-50 exciting victory sets true first road game. Had a heck of a game. I've got the Tigers winning this one, home opener, improving to 2-1, beating the Red Wolves and the Butch Joneses out of Jones Boogie.
I also have the Tigers taking this one. I guess I said it was I-40. It should be I-55, right? If you're going north. Anyway.
Well, they, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Last year's game was a complete wild
really
ride.
Really, it's 63.
Okay. I'll trust you. You're from that part.
Oh, I've made that drive through Jones Boogie a couple thousand times.
Last year was a wild ride, and I think the Tigers are going to try to show out and kind of just correct it, right? I mean, we were blowing them out. What are we talking about? Just fluke play after fluke play, and they were able to kind of work themselves back in. Lane Hatcher's gone. I think it's Blackman's going to be the starting quarterback now. So, yeah, but you know, you don't have to deal with the dual quarterback situation, so it may be a little easier to defend
them. Yeah, the change at halftime, right? You end up prepping all week for one guy, and then they make a change, and it's kind of – you got to change on the fly. So, all right, I improve to – I think Memphis is improving to 2-1. You're at the same 2-1.
2-1, yeah.
All right, we'll move to week four, September 24th, North Texas. Memphis leads this series 16-4. Do you know when the last time we played North Texas was? I'm going to be absolutely livid if you do not know what this is.
The last time that comes to mind is like early 2000s.
TJ, come on.
That's the only time I can think
of. The Big Easy 31 year drought.
Was that not the bowl game?
The freaking New Orleans Bowl, dude.
Was that not 2003? Is that when that was?
Yeah.
Okay.
We won 27-17. So I'm going – a lot of people, funny enough, have called this the Grant Gunnell revenge game, which to those I laugh because as a backup quarterback, can you have a revenge game? The only thing Grant's going to be doing is watching from a different perspective than he did last year. He's on the away sideline now, but he's still going to be watching. My man left to go be the backup at North Texas. Anyway, I got the Tigers improving to 3-1, beating the Mean Green out of Seth's hometown of Denton, Texas.
You know, I was kind of shocked that Ossanani won that battle, but I mean,
well, the dude's—I mean, he graduated high school in 2012. He's 46 years old. He's got a lot of experience.
Yeah, I just—and it's not to say that Gunnell won't take the job eventually. Ossanani is not good. If you just look at his stats or watch anything, if you ever get bored or you got time to waste, just go watch a North Texas game. He is awful. Maybe awful is a bad word, but I think I would rather have Arkelin Hall back there. And that's saying something. Tigers definitely win. I think they're just going to have too much talent to be stopped, honestly.
All right, so we both have improved to 3-1, heading into a week five home matchup against Temple. Mm. The home team has won five straight in this series. Obviously, last year we got up to the 17-0 lead and then eventually lost 34-31. We've won six straight conference home openers. For those of you at home wondering, I have got the Memphis Tigers winning in a landslide. I think this is a huge revenge game. I mentioned it the other day in part one. I think we put up the most points against Temple this year. Big victory here in our conference home opener against the Owls. I have us improving to 4-1.
Yeah, I have the Tigers taking a W here as well. So Dewan Mathis is back. We were his best game last year. He's actually in a battle with someone else. Not that it matters. New coach, quarterback battle. I don't think anything's going to help him. I expect the Tigers to win pretty handily here. The only thing I worry about is this is potentially a trap game just with Houston coming up right after. But I'm going to take the Tigers with the rebound.
I like it.
So four right, and so one.
So we're
from
both
me.
Sitting at 4-1. Yep. Is that correct?
Yep.
All right. We move into a crucial big time, potentially the last of the series, at least for the foreseeable future, as a conference battle. The Tigers are hosting Houston on a Friday night short week. We've won 5 of the last 6 against the Cougars. Obviously, last year was a little bit of a struggle in the 31-13 loss. I mean, we were still in the game into the fourth quarter. We were getting turnovers, kind of holding our own. We just couldn't really get anything on the scoreboard. You know, over the last 3 years, the Tigs are 20-2 at home. This is a short week. Houston's projected to be one of the best in the G5. They went 10-2 last year. But I'll tell you this. I think the Houston Cougars are a little bit fraudulent of a football team. They had, if you go by some publications, they played the 127th easiest out of 131 schedule last season. Went 10-2. The only real team they played was Texas Tech in that opener. They lost, and then they faced Cincy at the end of the year in the conference championship and lost. They're starting the year out ranked. It's very likely we could be a home dog on a short week. You always take the home dog in a short week. Tigs don't lose at home. I'm taking Memphis in a rowdy Friday night victory over Houston and improving to 5-1.
Trey and I do not agree on Houston. He thinks they are fraudulent. I think they're actually pretty good. I think Clayton Tune is good. Sucks McCaskill got hurt. He was going to be a big part of that offense, but Henry, the backup, is back. What's the receiver's name? Tank Dell. It's really good. This is one that worries me. I'm going to say the Tigers lose this game, and it kind of pains me to say so because we normally have Houston's record, but I think we're going to lose this one.
So that puts you at what now?
4-2. I think it'll be a close game. I mean, the more I think about it, I think the Tigers are going to try to come out and score fast and kind of get up their points. But it'll be close, but I think Houston pulls it out.
All right, so after a potential final battle with the Cougars, the Tigs go on the road for a 2-week road stand, first of which being at East Carolina. Obviously, the heartbreaker last year, ECU leads the series 16-8. We've won 2 of the last 3. Last time we were in East Carolina, we led 24-17 at the half and ended up winning 59-41 in a shootout. I think this has the potential. I hate to say this. I really do, especially after how last year ended. I think this has the potential to be sort of a letdown game. I mean, you're coming off, at least in my case, an emotional Friday night victory over Houston. I really don't want to say this, but I think this is a game the Tigers could lose. Like, sort of in a similar fashion, I think it'll be a very close heartbreaker. So I am going to have Memphis dropping to the Pirates, their first conference loss, and falling to 5-2 on the year.
Freaking Holt Nailers, man. Graduate already. The game was so annoying last year because we couldn't get them off the field. It wasn't like they were substantially a better team. And they're not even a better team this year. I mean, it's probably a pretty evenly matched game. It really comes down to who makes the stupid turnovers, right? It's going to be something like that. Mike Houston has turned that team around a lot. I have the Tigers losing this one on the road, mostly because there's two things that this team hasn't done well of late, and that's win on the road and win in October. So I have a loss at Houston and then a loss at ECU just to kind of follow suit with those two. I guess, no, Houston is going to be, yeah, that's October, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I thought, so. Yeah, that takes me.
So that moves you to what, 4-3?
4-3, which is going to sour some people pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yep.
But it's okay.
All right. So the second half of a back-to-back road stand at Tulane. We've won 13 of the last 15. Last time down in New Orleans, we were favored but ended up losing 35-21, I believe. But I think the Tigers right the ship here. They turn it around. They learn from what they did at East Carolina. They pull out a victory and improve to 6-2 on the year.
Tigers definitely win this.
Heading into their bye week.
The Tigers definitely win this one because Tulane's quarterback is Michael Pratt, and he is average at best.
We haven't talked about it. You know who I've always loved, even with their ties to universities, is the Manning brothers. They're smart. They love football. They know the game. Manning watch list, perfect example. Your boy Seth Hennigan, only true sophomore on the list. You know who didn't make that list? Because they're just a very average quarterback.
Who is that?
Oh, Michael Pratt.
Ooh, sorry, Michael Pratt.
The Mannings know what they're doing.
They know what they're doing. They know quarterbacks.
They do know. If they know anything, those boys know quarterbacks.
This isn't going to be another JoJo revenge game, by the way. This is going to be the Tigers win, and probably going to get the last matchup with Willie Fritz. I don't think he's coming back.
Shout out to JoJo.
Shout out to JoJo.
But hey, let's pour one out for JoJo.
I don't want to spill this on the carpet.
Pour out a little bit of this Prince Mango for JoJo Dorsius. All right, so that improves you to what, 5-3?
We are 5-3, baby.
All right. Tigers head into a bye week, Halloween weekend. Much needed break. I think it falls at a really good spot. They'll come back, open up November, where they have actually been very good in the month of November. With a homecoming matchup, potentially another last of a series, at least as conference opponents for the foreseeable future, hosting UCF. I think Silverfield does it again at home. I think we beat the Knights in our last homestand with the Knights. And I think it's huge to come off of a bye week. It's important to note that UCF is also coming off a game the prior week against Cincinnati, so they could be coming off either it'll just be an emotional game either way, right? Those are two of the top pick teams in the conference, so whether it's a win or a loss, just an emotionally draining game, physical game. So I like the Tigs in this to beat the Knights and improve to, what would that be, 7-2 now for me?
Mm-hmm. I have the Tigers winning this game. Some of that relies on they named John Rhys Plumlee the quarterback for some reason over Mikey Keene. I thought Keene did well enough to keep the job, but instead they put JRP back there, so that'll be interesting. Let's see how that works out for them. You know, this game actually wasn't that like lopsided last year given the circumstances, which is kind of surprising. You know,
I think we turned the ball over four times. We had a couple drop touchdowns.
Well, you had two drop touchdowns in the end zone that turned into interceptions.
Yeah.
So, it literally could have been a completely different game with a guy who had 3 days to prepare, 4 days to prepare. So, I don't think they're that impressive. Like, I think Isaiah Bauer is obviously a freak, but, you know, hopefully with the new defensive scheme, we can kind of help slow down the running attack, and I think Tigers are going to actually take this one. I know a lot of people are high on UCF this year. It's not me. Couldn't be me, especially with John Rhys Plumlee back there.
Won't be you.
Yeah, couldn't be.
So that brings you to 6-3 through 9?
6-3.
All right. That gives the Tigers coming. They've got 5 days before they host Tulsa on a Thursday night. We've won three of the last four. Obviously the heartbreaker last year, just couldn't get points on the board. Didn't have a kicker really. We missed some kicks, a game we really probably should have won. I think this is another revenge type game, similar to the Temple. I think the Tigers win this one fairly easily. And I've got them improving to 8-2.
You know, Trey, you had a good point earlier when you said that Ryan Silverfield, and the Tigers do really well in November. They've actually won 71% of their games in November since Ryan has been head coach. And they're going to continue that here with a Dubs versus Tulsa. I don't know how Philip Montgomery still has a job, Nothing about this makes sense. Davis Brin is terrible. No way the Tigers lose this game. Knock on wood.
All right. So that brings you to
7-3
on the year. All right. We're sitting at 7-3 from TJ and 8-2 from myself. Sort of a bye week game, if you will. FCS opponent North Alabama rolls into town. Fun fact, the hometown team for Florence, Alabama, my in-laws are from Florence. My mother-in-law went to UNA. Did you know that they have two live, they're the Lions. They've got two live Lions in captivity in the center of their campus. It's pretty cool. Imagine if we had Tom just out there at the UC lawn roaming around. How sweet that would be.
That would be scary as hell.
First time we've ever faced the Lions out of Florence. We've won 9 straight versus FCS foes. I think that last loss was, what, Fuente's first year against UT Martin. What a game that was. Obviously, Tigers win this one going away. Got them improving to 9-2 on the year, heading into a pivotal final week, Thanksgiving, feast week, rivalry week game at SMU.
Yeah, I think this one's pretty straightforward. I don't, in the nicest way possible, I don't expect it to be too terribly close. I think this is one where maybe Seth takes a breather, kind of gets prepped for SMU. We get some Ryan Glover, maybe some Tevin action about the halfway point. But I will say, UNA does get a lot of SEC overflow, so maybe it won't be such a blowout, but they could maybe keep it respectable at 21 points.
Easy win nonetheless.
Yeah, for sure. 8-3 for me.
All right. Heading into the final regular season game of the year, a big one, probably our biggest conference rival moving forward if the Mustangs don't get picked up by the Pac-12 or something. At SMU, hopefully they get those field issues figured out. They may have to come here and play us or something. But playing the Cowboys Stadium, I don't know. But they got some field stuff they need to figure out. Big old water bubbles at the 15-yard line. This one's tough. You got to, at least for me, we're sitting at 9-2 right now. Obviously, one conference loss at the moment. So that puts you, you know, if you win this game at SMU, that I think that puts you in the conference championship game. You've beaten both, in my scenario, Houston and UCF, who were favorite, you know, top of the league favorites. We've talked about the Tigers being good in November. I mean, I know Tanner Mordecai is a good quarterback, but they do have, and I think Lashley is going to be a great coach, but it's, I think they're going to have an okay year. I'm thinking like a 7-5, 6-6 from SMU. You just have a totally new staff in there. I know you got Tanner Mordecai, but I don't think he's a guy that's on his own going to go out there. You know, they've lost USC's Bentley. They've lost their receivers that we've kind of seen the last couple of years. I think the Tigers can pull this out. I didn't have that. This was not my record in mind when I came into this podcast, and I've talked myself into it. I think they pull it out. I think it's going to be a close one. Maybe a David Kemp doo-doo-doo game winner or something. But, TJ, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say they pull this out. We go 10-2. The Tigs are could very well be hosting an AAC conference championship in the final year of the conference as we know it. I don't know. Maybe that's too ambitious. Maybe I'm being too optimistic, but I'm throwing it all out there. 10-2. Tigs are hosting December 3rd weekend, the conference championship. I'm doing it. Why not? Why not us? 7-1 in the conference.
If it wasn't a road game, I think I would be right there with you. Road Tigers always scare me. You never really know what team you're going to get. Is it, you know, I think back of, look at Arkansas State. You know,
don't do this to me. I'm already high. I should have.
Think of the Arkansas State game, man.
Don't do it.
Get up hot, and then just poop the bed right then and there.
So, don't do it. Just stop. Just tell me they're going to lose. Stop talking.
Yeah, I'm taking.
You're going to make me change my mind.
We're taking SMU here. That will finish the Tigers at 8-4. Definitely not a great season, but much improved on 2021. Right? You know, they could have easily won 8 games this year if they had a kicker. I think that it's going to be a steady climb here, and they're doing it right, kind of working up some of the young guys. So I don't think anyone should complain about an 8-4 team. You know, you're kind of getting some tough breaks there, losing at SMU and at ECU, but you're also pulling off decent wins. I think we said at UCF was going to be a win. And
well, it's at home, but yes.
Well, yeah, I'm just talking about teams that
I'm so mad at you right now. I'm changing it. We're losing a heartbreaker at SMU, 9-3. I still think we get into the conference championship because I think Houston's fraudulent. We've beat UCF, but I think we're going to Cincinnati.
Stick to your gun.
6-2 in the conference. And I think we pull it off. So I'll say we lose a heartbreaker at SMU. I'm very frustrated that you just changed my mind, 9-3. But I think we win at Cincy. And I don't know if that'll get us the New Year's Six Bowl at, 10-3? I think, you know, that could be like a Boise. Somebody may go undefeated. You might get a Boise in there or something. Obviously, you at 8-4, we wouldn't make the AAC Conference Championship, so you don't need to pick that. I'll say 10-3. We beat Cincy at Cincy. You and I will be there going crazy, rushing the field, sneaking into the locker room afterwards. And I don't think we get the New Year's Six. I'll say, let's have some fun and be at AutoZone Liberty Bowl again. Is that allowed? Can we play in the Liberty Bowl again?
I'd have to check the tie-ins. I think they have changed, but I think you're looking at don't let me lie to you. I want to say First Responders Bowl was the tie-in.
Yeah. We got bad tie-ins. Look, some people on the radio were talking about the other day as if Memphis has pick of what bowls are tied into. Look, if you're not making the New Year's Six, the AAC bowl tie-ins are horrible. There's nothing we can do about it. So, hopefully it's a cool destination and we can go. That's all I'll say.
Respect that.
So I guess to our boy Jonathan asked that the other day, what bowl will the Tigers be playing? I'm going to go out on a limb and say the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. 10-3, they're going to Liberty Bowl.
Ooh.
I'm putting TJ on the spot because he doesn't know all of our bowl tie-ins.
Well, they change. They rotate. That's why I don't know them. But I do know the Fenway Bowl.
Mm,
and then that First would be Responder
talk about
Bowl.
A fun... Yeah, talk about a fun destination.
That would be a good one. I'll say Fenway just so we go to Boston. Boston.
Let's do it. Fenway Park, I'm all in.
Yeah, that's versus ACC, I believe.
So I guess that puts me, I'm going to say we win in the Liberty Bowl. 11-3, heck of a year by Silverfield. Turns it around, the city's in love. Tiger football's back. We still don't get an invite to a Power 5, but as far as we know, we're back. On top of the world. You think we win that Fenway Bowl?
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
So 9-4 from TJ, 11-3 from T Money. You got anything else, TJ, besides our beer review?
No, let's jump to the beer review.
All right. The Prince Mango. I got to say, it was pretty good.
It really wasn't bad. Better than I expected.
There wasn't. I mean, for mango to be in the name, I was expecting more mango than I feel like I experienced. It was good. I mean, it definitely wasn't my favorite of what we've had so far. I will say 6.3 alcohol by volume is that's pretty good. Like we mentioned, can needs some work, just not a great design. This is a 2.2 out of 10 on the can, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
but beer, the beer I'm going to go, I'll go 7.3. It was good.
It's a little higher than me. Beer. I'm going to say the can, what did you give the can, a 2?
A 2.2. I mean, it's not a good can.
I'll say a 3.1, I guess, out of 10. It's a boring can, guys. Do better.
I'm going to take that back. You know what? I'll go up to a 2.8 on the can because their barcode.
I saw that. That's exactly what I was looking at.
That gets them, you know what? I'll go 3-2 and give them a whole point for it. Their barcode is the M bridge. It's great. I like that a lot. But other than that, the can needs work.
So can, I said 3-1. The beer, I will say 6.9. It was good. I think I was just...
You're a big IPA guy, aren't you?
Yeah, I do like IPAs, but I was let down because, again, it has mango in the name, and I didn't taste a single bit of mango.
Yeah, I mean, if it's going to be Prince Mango, I wanted to be smacked in the face with mango, and it wasn't there. I don't know. The mangoes are missing. I don't know where they're at. All right, well, that will wrap it up. We will be back. I mean, TJ, next week
literally
is game
next week.
Week,
yeah.
So we will be back with a Mississippi State preview. We'll dive a little bit more into the Tigers-Bulldogs matchup, have a score prediction, and football season will be officially underway. That'll wrap it up for our season preview. Come with a cold beer. Stay for the hot takes. Peace.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to Tigers on Tap. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating and a comment wherever you listen to your podcast. If you are interested in content all about the University of Memphis Tiger Athletic Program, hop over to www.gotigers247.com. New articles are published daily, and you can join the Go Tigers 247 family by signing up for VIP.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.